Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Sam Pratt from Rockland Manufacturing, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Betty Slayton, president of BCDA, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Have you bought your snow shovel yet? How about the gardener to clean up the yard for fall or that leaky window in the back? Wouldn't it be great to be rid of all of this? At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, you'll learn how easy and inexpensively you and your spouse can set up a new home in a beautiful community that offers maintenance-free fun and a first-class chef to prepare your meals. Give them a call at 623-0349 and declare your independence at Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
Have you ever been to Rockland Manufacturing? Didn't think so. I mean, it's not a product that you would probably come over and get four or five of for your kitchen. Because of what I do, the kind of business I am in, I don't really get to see big manufacturing operations very often. So I've always wanted to come over and see it. So just coincidentally, who do I run into the other day at the commissioner's meeting? But Sam Pratt, he tells me he's retired, but I don't think he is because he's in here every day. He seems to be working all the time. So I said, what's on your mind, Sam? And he was into the commissioner's meeting talking about what he thought was a terrible injustice that has been perpetrated upon us by the UPMC medical system, which we're going to be talking about in just a few minutes. But first, I wanted to talk to Sam a little bit about what he does here and how he got here. So before we went on the air this morning, he started telling me about his life and how he worked in Boston and told me he did all these cool things. And I go, whoa, slow down. We're going to do this on the air. So Sam, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Well, thank you.
You are a very interesting guy. And I get to meet a lot of interesting people, but you are really an interesting guy. Born in Cohasset, Massachusetts. Did I get that
right? That's right.
So tell everybody where Cohasset is.
Cohasset's a small town on the coast about 20 miles south of Boston.
So do you have any roots in fisherman business or anything like that?
Well, no, but my grandfather ran a small dairy farm. And I lived across the street from him when I was growing up. Now, don't laugh at this. 12 cows. But he also had a little bottling room. And he had a walk-in cooler, and they'd milk the cows, and he would load his truck up with ice, and he would deliver the milk. He was a complete full-service dairy. He didn't sell his milk to a bottler. He did the whole thing, and through the war.
I think a lot of people don't understand that many of the farms were small like that back then. They weren't these giant farms we see around here in Bedford County with 100 or 200 head, you know, with machines and equipment and all this jazz. And this is back when everybody did everything themselves.
Oh, yeah. Grampy's equipment was a hired man.
Okay. Well, our guest, as I mentioned, is Sam Pratt, and Sam has had a very interesting career. You said you worked in a yard in Hingham, or where was it?
Bethlehem Steel.
Bethlehem Steel.
I entered the apprentice program at the shipyard, and I worked there for a couple of years, between 61 and 63.
Yeah.
And I also held a job down at a gray iron foundry. I'd work for them when I wasn't at the shipyard.
And then you told me you headed south.
Well, I did. I got offered a job to go to work for Rockland Manufacturing Company and run the shop, which was a small shop. I say shop, it was. There were about 8 to 10 fellas that worked there full time. After a couple of years, I had a chance to buy it, and I did.
You did. So what did Rockland in Florida make?
Basically the same simple fabrications to go on bulldozers and wheel loaders. Right. And we started out making land clearing equipment, and that led into log grapples and log forks to go on wheel loaders, and then we got into buckets and sort of had the attitude that if it was fairly simple. We could figure out how to do it.
So these big claw things you see on the loaders and the bulldozers and so forth, a lot of them are created here in Bedford.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah, more the better.
That's right.
Right.
We the family does get a kick out of going by and seeing something with an R on the side of it.
Well, my introduction to this and my only contact with this in my whole life, when I served in the Navy, I was aboard an amphibious ship, and we took a lot of this equipment overseas to Southeast Asia. And one of the things they had down the tank deck of our LST was something the Marines called a Rome plow. And isn't that similar to what you make over here?
Oh yes.
I recall it kind of just mowed down the jungle.
That was to clear the jungle. We made some of those same clearing blades, and in fact, we ended up in a lawsuit with Rome plow.
I brought it up.
Over that particular tool.
I see.
Yeah.
So, we did. Well, okay. So I bring up the only thing you get sued for. I'm sorry about that.
Well, it's not the only thing we got sued for. Fortunately, we've never lost in court.
Good.
But also, fortunately, we've never gone to court much and try to avoid that.
I remember my lawyer used to say to me, the day you open business, understand you're going to be sued by somebody somewhere. So that's
the way
it is.
Well, there's always the risk of it. By golly, you got to be willing to fight.
Well, Sam, you're a really interesting guy, and I understand that you were motivated, and this is a great story, by none other than your sixth grade geography teacher to make the move from Florida to Bedford. If I get this right?
You do.
So how did that work? I mean, she wasn't down there advising you. So.
No. Sometimes I wish she was, but I remember... It was a Saturday morning. I was in the office trying to think about the big picture and some of our problems. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that things slowed down in the spring. And they didn't pick up until late October. And then I remember what she said. She spun the globe. She held her fingers close to the equator. And as the globe was going around, she said, "Class, these are the tropics. And no great civilization has ever come to pass in the tropics." And that popped into my mind. I thought, holy smokes, I've been fighting nature.
Yeah.
And I've always sort of thought that it made sense not to fight nature. And so then I thought, we buy steel in Pennsylvania, Johnstown. We buy steel from Maryland, Sparrows Point, Maryland, Burns Harbor, Indiana. A lot of our big customers are in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Tennessee. There's a lot of land clearing going on. The interstate program
was
just kicking off then. And I thought, I think we're in the wrong place.
Wrong place, yeah.
Besides, I'd like to go trout fishing once in a while.
And here lies the real reason why Sam wants to come north, but I appreciate it. I mean, in light of what's just happened in Florida, I mean, it reminding us that this may not be the ideal place to live with, 5 or 6 million people. I mean, they say, well, when it was like when the Indians were there, well, the Indians were a heck of a lot smarter. They got the hell out of there when it started to blow, and then they came back.
Well, yeah, and the Indians lived in the shade.
Sure.
And they didn't need air conditioners.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they appreciate them now, but they didn't need them in those days, it's a different society. And Florida wouldn't have been developed without the air conditioner when you come right down.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Our guest is Sam Pratt, and Sam is the what is your title? Are you the CEO still, or what's the situation?
I'm the ROG.
You're the ROG?
Retired old guy.
Retired old guy. Okay, good. Yeah, I like that. That's a good title.
But
you don't look too retired to me. If you walk into Sam's office, you'll see all kinds of things, and his phone works, and his fax machine works, and his computer works, and so he seems to be working. I don't know. Well, look, the real reason we got a hold of Sam here, we wanted to talk to him about something he brought up at the county commissioners meeting last Tuesday, and I was really struck by it. First of all, Sam, if you had not gotten up and spoken, I would not have known about this issue. It's practically been the world's greatest secret, which is pretty astonishing when considering the level of the decision. And what we're talking about, of course, because now it's been in the paper and it's been on television, but the UPMC medical system has decided to close the maternity services division of their hospital here in Bedford. And Sam, you brought up a very interesting point. You said, not only is this a bad idea for the women who want to have babies, but it's a bad idea for business. And tell us why that is. You mentioned that business is going to be affected by this because people don't want to come to work here.
Well, that concerns me. Bedford, we came to Bedford. They had an industrial development group. They were trying to provide jobs for people that grew up in Bedford, and they've done a fine job. But one of the criteria that we had when we started looking for a new industrial home was health care. And we certainly didn't want to locate where there wasn't good health care reasonably close by. It could be the next town, but we didn't want a 25 or 30-mile drive to good health. Bedford had a hospital, so right away they qualified.
Yeah.
And now we hear the hospital, they're going to stop delivering babies. Well, gee whiz, obstetrics, that's important to any sizable community. And going 30 miles to have a baby, or it just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Well, to me, it's pretty backwards because 100 years ago, you could have a baby and the neighborhood doctor would be there in a short time. Didn't drive any 30 minutes or 30 miles to go someplace to have a child. Even your local family doctor or midwife could be there to take care of this situation. And so we've sort of maybe forgotten some of the basics. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sam more about this, and I'm going to talk to him, too, a little bit about what the community can do to maybe reverse this trend, because I think the community does have something to say, and I believe that they can do something about it. In the meantime, I want to remind you that the program today is brought to you in part by Homewood at Springhouse Estates. And if you've not been over to this place, it's really quite extraordinary. They've built this new facility. I understand it's been there almost 20 years, but it seems like it was just built a few years ago. In fact, they have some new construction underway, which I'll talk to you about in a minute. But at Homewood Estates, Independence Day is every day. Not only do you have your own place as a cottage or an apartment, but a terrific dining room, shuttle service to the market, walking trails, brand new facilities, senior fitness, bus trips, and spectacular views, all at no additional expense. At Homewood at Springhouse, you're going to fit in because your friends are already here. When I walked in the door the other day, I saw someone I know from my church, which I understand is a regular occurrence over there. So call these people right now. They probably have something going on. And this is something you want to look at. Want to take off for a month to go see your grandchildren or just maybe take off or even go to Florida, preferably in the winter? Homewood will keep an eye on your place while you're gone, and they'll take care of the appliances, and they'll make sure the lights are off and the water's not dripping and all that sort of thing. So give them a call at 623-0349. That's 623-0349 for Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll be returning with my guest, Sam Pratt, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. America, when I was a kid, every Sunday evening, Dinah Shore sang that song. Being part of a Chevy family since 1939, I thought it was pretty special. Now that the weather has become Bedford beautiful again, why not stop by and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet? Right now, we have a great opportunity with a beautiful 2017 Malibu. All of them have the latest technology, comfort, and power to make driving fun again. At Thomas Chevrolet, you can drive away in one of these terrific Malibus at value pricing in the low 20s. When you get a great price, great trade-in, and our legendary service, that's called earning your complete satisfaction. That's what we do here every day. Come and see the USA in your Thomas Chevrolet right now. If you visit us this week, you'll find your 2017 Malibu in our showroom. And while you're here, we'll show you what complete satisfaction really is.
That's Thomas Chevrolet, where we guarantee your complete satisfaction every day.
This is Josh Lang, Chairman of the Bedford County Board of Commissioners, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Our guest this morning is Sam Pratt, who is the tired old guy, I like that, the ROG at the Rockland Manufacturing. But more importantly, we're talking to Sam about this issue we had brought up just before the break. Sam, how long has Rockland been here in Bedford County?
We opened up our first operation in late 73.
So when you came here, the hospital was a community hospital, was it not?
Yes, it was. And I knew several of the people that were instrumental in the hospital being formed. And they were proud of what they'd accomplished. And they had reason to be proud.
And were there doctors involved in the board and that kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah.
So you don't serve on the board of the hospital or anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are you active, or were you active in the community when you were working all the time? And did you
I made a mistake and ran for school board and served two terms on the school board.
So this is a pretty important place because the closest hospitals, and I'm new in town, so I'm going to have to guess, but the closest hospitals are Altoona, Cumberland, Maryland, and Johnstown, and maybe the Nason Hospital, which is practically in Altoona, right?
Well, it is. It's close to Altoona, right. And it's on the other side of the mountain.
Of the mountains, right. So on a day when we're having a couple of feet of snow, that's not a good place to be going if you want to have a baby. So let's talk a bit about the impact of this decision by UPMC. I do want you to know that the news department of our station made assiduous attempts to try to reach the people, PR department at UPMC. And as of this recording today, we have not heard anything back from them other than the fact that we got a very short news release. But their public relations representative, who I think takes care of this part of the world, Bedford County, Somerset County, I think that was her job, said that they really have no other comment except that they're going to close it and provide super-duper services in their other hospitals. But that doesn't cut it. So what can you see as a solution to this? Do you feel that the community should get on this a little bit? I mean, or not so little bit, maybe a lot of bit.
I personally think the community get on this and realize that it's a major change in the quality of life in Bedford County and that it doesn't augur well for the future of Bedford County. If you just say, what if, all right, they cut back obstetrics at the Bedford Hospital. Well, you have to ask, what else are you going to eliminate? I had my both knees replaced at the Bedford Hospital, and they've served me well without any problems. I understand they don't do that anymore. Please understand, I'm not talking to you as an expert about medical care or anything like that, but it just makes sense to me that if you start cutting back in a community, look at the size of Bedford County from north to south, east to west. And I understand that some women were coming from Fulton County to have their babies in Bedford because it was closer. And since I spoke at the commissioners, I've also learned that there's no obstetrics anymore in Somerset. So is medical care going to atrophy? Is it going to vanish? Well, if it's going to vanish in these counties like Fulton County, Bedford County, Somerset County, and the medical managers are going to require that people drive long distances, it seems reasonable to me that a young couple that wants to have a family are going to talk about, well, yeah, we'd like to live in the country, but gee, those snowy nights and things like that, storms, travel, maybe we ought to move closer to where there's good medical services. Well, if that happens, all of a sudden, what's a nice, viable community is slowly dying on the vine.
I went to a presentation recently about the threat of losing our young people to other places. We send them to a perfectly good school like Bedford High School or the Tech Center. They say, well, thanks a lot for the education. I'm headed for Harrisburg, or I'm headed for Pittsburgh or Boston or someplace. And they don't come back. So as a result, we lose that talent. But now you're saying to me that if we don't even offer them a place for them to have their young children, why should they stay?
Yeah, why should they?
Yeah.
And what about industrial development? Do you think any company that's serious about the welfare of their people are going to move into a community where there's partial health care? It's hard for me to believe that wouldn't be on the top of their list.
Right. I spoke to a young physician about this, who is going to remain called a young physician. And he said, oh, it's really all very simple. He said they have a bunch of people in the accounting department, and they figured out that they can make more money providing emergency health care in their emergency room when an ambulance has come in every 5 or 10 minutes, or a procedure that creates a lot of large public assistance money. And things like obstetrics and maybe even knee replacements aren't making a very good deal for them anymore. So, too bad.
That's not why they're supposed to be in business. They claim to be a nonprofit organization. I think that says a lot, but also what they do says a lot, too.
Well, when I was a kid, most of the hospitals were run by churches. You know, Lutheran hospitals, Methodist hospitals, Catholic hospitals. That's how you saw them. But most hospitals began with the name of Saint something. You know, and
that's right.
Today, it's like Hospital LLC.
That's right. It's accountants and controllers and the dollar. One of the excuses or reasons, however you want to put it, that I've heard as I've talked to some people about this since the commissioner's meeting is, well, we can't get any doctors to come to Bedford. And I say, well, I don't see any evidence of any effort. Have doctors in Bedford. I think the community would know about it just by virtue of that effort, because a reasonable effort in that direction would require some support in the community. Now, if you take the numbers, and I haven't, of all the bright kids that graduate from all the high schools in Bedford County and the ones go to medical school, it's hard for me to believe that every generation we can't end up with 3 or 4 or 5 physicians that grow up in Bedford County and realize that this place may not have the biggest shopping malls in Pennsylvania, but it's got one of the best qualities of life, and it's a great place to raise kids. And raising kids is one of the reasons that most people get married.
Well, you know, this is interesting. I wish I'd moved here 40 years ago, because I was living in the world of the rat race. You know, I was running around 1,000 miles an hour. And my wife Jackie and I know a young couple who are both young MDs that live in Norfolk, Virginia. And they hate their jobs because they just hate all the pressure they're being put on by running people through at high speed, making sure you get a little time as you can with each patient, make more money. And I said, you want to come up here? I said, they would carry you here on a sedan chair. And they're both general practice doctors, which is what they really need here.
Yeah.
And everyone I've ever talked to at UPMC says, oh, well, if we could find some general practice doctors, I think they call it family medicine today,
We
would embrace them. Well, I can name you two, and they're both highly qualified, and they're both under 40. So what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, what's wrong with the picture?
Yeah.
I've thought about that. And again, I don't profess to be an expert on this, but many of the doctors aren't independent anymore. They work for UPMC.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things we've learned about from being in business is that sometimes there's built-in conflicts, and you can have a conflict in your business model that holds you back from achieving the results you want. They might have a built-in conflict with the fact that doctors who traditionally have been independent and been rewarded on how they treated their patients, i.e. more patients or less patients, and now are controlled by somebody that is looking out for their financial interests, even though they say they're nonprofit. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I didn't go to college, but we're a nonprofit organization. We own a big skyscraper in Pittsburgh. Now, I know I couldn't build a skyscraper or buy a skyscraper in Pittsburgh without some profits. And I know they've got their name on a baseball stadium in Erie, Pennsylvania, which doesn't seem to me has much to do with health care. Would seem to me that if they were really devoted to health care, the money would be better spent on medical care in Bedford County or another rural county. And I don't think they have a clear understanding of their mission, other than it might be too much admiration for the dollar if it's a nonprofit organization. I assume someplace all the salaries and wages and all that's public information. I would expect that is. But I haven't had time to try to peek or find out, and I'm sure somebody knows. But again, going back to what I said a while back, this isn't good for Bedford County. And Bedford County, I think we ought to work on trying to find a solution.
You know, for one of the competitive things that kind of smacks me is if you say that women are coming from Fulton, they've closed obstetrics in Somerset. Maybe I'm missing something here, but if you operate a strong obstetrics and birthing center here in Bedford, would that not be to your advantage to suck up the business from the other counties that don't have it? Or am I missing something here?
Well, I don't know. I know about welding and steel fabrication a little bit, but
I think you know more than you think.
No.
And besides, since you brought it up, I'm gonna build you a building in Pittsburgh. We're gonna call it the Sam Tower. How's that? Make a big glass thing.
Right. We're gonna be able to do it tax free.
Put a front end loader on top of it or something. We'll think of something.
Yeah. Thanks.
Our guest is Sam Pratt. Sam is the retired old guy from Rockland Manufacturer, but he's here really talking as a community citizen. And just to give you some background, he approached the Bedford County Commissioners last Tuesday at their meeting, objecting to this closure of the obstetrics department at UPMC, and they responded. They wrote a strong letter. I saw it in the paper. And by the way, for a government entity to write a letter like that, that was strong. I was proud of them. That was a...
Well, so was I.
Yeah, I mean, that was better than I expected.
They did... I hope for a great job, and they delivered a great job. I thought the letter touched all the bases and remained reasonably... It remained civil.
Right.
And that's what we need. I don't know if there's been a response yet from UPMC.
Well, I like the line about that we're going to explore all avenues, including government, state, federal, and local. And that had some teeth in it. I really liked it, and I think they just ought to be congratulated for doing it. Because most of the things you get are going, we'll do our best to work on it. We'll get Brock donated on it. Yeah. They didn't get any of that.
Well, I'm very interested to see what next steps they take.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what kind of help we get from our elected officials in Harrisburg.
We shall see. I hold my breath a little bit on that one, but maybe we will. We'll light a candle and see what happens.
I intend to follow up with some letters, and I hope other people do. I hope listeners do.
Well, we're going to follow up with this, and I want to thank you. We're out of time. I've enjoyed speaking to you a lot, but you're a lot of fun. We're going to come back and talk to you about
the heavy
equipment. I'd like to learn more about these things you make. I have a very good Rockland equipment guide. I hope I can keep this. I stole it from your lobby.
Yeah, you didn't steal it.
And, boy, these are amazing things. This is just stuff that people like us never see, so I really enjoy it. But thank you very much for taking the time. I really enjoyed speaking with you. You've been a great guest.
You're very welcome, and I appreciate your concern about your new home.
Well, thank you. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.